From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
The Kansas City Chiefs have given Patrick Mahomes the largest sports contract in the history of North America. Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. I'm Ryan, your host over at RGR Football, as well as the founder of Rogue Analytics. And analytics will play a part in the coming years because this blockbuster deal that was announced today, we haven't seen all of the details yet. Right now, it's been about 20 minutes since we heard the news. It is a 10-year contract for Patrick Mahomes. This is an extension on top of the 2 years that he has remaining on his deal. So right now, the MVP, the guy that I keep referring to as the only MVP, is under contract for the Kansas City Chiefs through the year 2031. A lot will change between now and then in terms of compensation. Maybe this deal gets redone. Maybe he plays through it. We never know exactly. But that is a long-term contract that sets him up to be the figurehead of the NFL for that length of time as well. We don't have a ton of detail right now. As I'm recording this, it's been maybe 20, 30 minutes, and I'm trying to get out. I'm going to record this show in increments, not like we usually do where we sit down and go all in one go. This first section is right now the initial reaction. I'm going to give you details as we hear them, hopefully before we have to go to upload today. But right now, what we know is that it's a 10-year extension that the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes will be together through 2031. That gives them the edge. A lot of initial questioning of the structure. We don't have any of that yet. When we get back from the break, I will have waited a few hours and gotten some of those details. So hold on. But for right now, a lot of question about why would Patrick Mahomes take a 10-year deal? Well, there's a couple of things. If you're Patrick Mahomes, you don't just want to set the bar higher. You don't want to come in just $37 million or something, a couple million above Russell Wilson. I've been telling you most of the offseason, and I do feel pretty good about this right now, that it's not an outlandish number like 50. I think it's going to be between 40 and 45. I think probably right in the middle, but yeah, I could see it creeping up a little bit. The Dak thing from a couple weeks ago probably puts a little more pressure on there and that kind of thing. But no matter what the total compensation comes out, the question will be, where I've stood the last couple weeks is that I don't think it's a percent of the cap. I don't think that makes sense, again, because of the instability that we see right now, that we don't know what the revenue is going to be over the next couple of years. And so I think that also ties into why is it such a long contract? It's because it allows you to kind of ebb and flow through the length of it. Being such a gargantuan length contract, you can absorb some things here and there and even all this cost out over a longer span. We'll have to get more details about what the structure is, what the guarantee is, what the injury guarantee is. If there is anything at all tied to the cap, we will definitely let you know. There's still a lot of rumor going back and forth right now, but hopefully in an hour or two, we'll have a better idea. So I'm going to come back then and update you on what I know then. So for you, it'll take a couple of seconds, but I'll be back. Welcome back. I hope you guys are enjoying this as much as I have, because for me, it's been a few hours. And now we have some more information about what this gargantuan deal is going to look like more over its course. So it has some implications for a lot of different things. And I wanted to wait till now because now we have some of the details. And they seem to be coming pretty much exclusively from Adam Schefter, who's getting this part out before we see the official numbers and the team hasn't made a statement or anything like that. If I do see another statement before we go to upload tonight, I will definitely add on to this show. But for right now, we're going to keep it simple and keep it to the things that we know. And that is that, according to Adam Schefter, again, the lead source on all of this information about this particular contract, is that for Mahomes, it is the 10 years that we discussed first at $450 million. So that's $45 million on the extension, a little bit higher than I thought it was truly going to go at about 42, 43. That was my thought, but definitely close and definitely not the $50 million that I really do feel, had it gone to that point, would have been a backbreaker for what the organization could do elsewise in terms of bringing in talent, being able to maneuver, extend the players that it maybe hasn't even drafted yet that that you want to see some big second contracts on. You know, if they draft the next Tyreek Hill next year, you want to be able to extend him in year six of Mahomes' deal, that kind of thing. That versatility is what you were looking for. So clearly the total is. And so when you look at that, 45 for each year on average in the extension, but you had the, 27 total, I think, 27.1 total that's remaining on the 2 years. So you wrap that in and it comes in at what is shocking to me, the next 12 seasons total, he'll come in at $39.75 million. That's just the simple average per year. Obviously, there are escalators and de-escalators and all those kind of things. We don't know any of the language of the contract at this point. But when you take it in its entirety, and especially this year when he was only going to make $2 million, we're going to see what the bonus structure is, what the salary structure is. My guess is they were able to knock it down a little bit in terms of base salary, try to control the cap number a little bit. But when you look on its whole, if he plays out this whole contract, you're averaging 39.7. That's well lower than anybody thought we were talking about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Even 3 months ago, at the height of the Super Bowl championship, when really there were a lot of numbers being thrown around that were just kind of ridiculous. So what it comes down to is I think this represents a way, and we're going to talk about this in the third, what the motivation was for either of them. But it allowed everybody to get some of what they wanted. And I think it sets the franchise up to be in good shape. Now, if there's something outlandish, something strange about the structure of it, we'll have to deal with that. But the second important thing is that the injury guarantee is for $140 million. So if the worst should ever happen, that's what it comes down to. And I think that's relative to the total size. That's pretty solid. And I think that allows him to feel safe. It allows the team to be covered should they ever have to get to that point. I don't think that that's anything in my initial takeaway that sends up a red flag or anything like that for me. That feels completely justified and in line with the total size of the deal. Now, here's the interesting part. A lot of speculation over the last few weeks, and I told you where I stood. And as of Adam Schefter this afternoon, he's confirming that the contract does not have any language in it whatsoever that refers to a specific percentage of the salary cap. There was even some speculation an hour or two ago, right after the news came out when I recorded the first session, that maybe there was a straight structure of dollars, but a clause in there to make sure you didn't go below a minimum value of the percentage of the cap. And I thought that was an interesting wrinkle that might have been something that allows them to account for inflation without, you know, letting what we are going to see happen is that in a few years, by the middle of this contract, I think we're all going to see Mahomes as quite a deal at this point. There's a Dak deal coming. Just in the next few years, there's a Dak deal coming. There's a Deshaun Watson deal coming. There are things out there that need to be accomplished. And I think at the end of the day, if this is structured along the lines of a normal Chiefs deal, you're going to see that you're going to feel pretty good about the salary that Patrick Mahomes is making in the next 5-6 years. Right in that range is that sweet spot where I think you're going to find him very affordable in relative terms of the performance of other quarterbacks. Hopefully that will include a few more Lombardi trophies, but we'll get to that part when we get to that part. The bigger part of it is that it doesn't tie the hands, because as much as a percentage deal helps the team plan for the future, if the cap continues to go up, if the cap were to fall dramatically, it puts them in a bind in terms of having a raw number of dollars they can spend on his supporting staff, on his line, on his pass catchers, and on the defense that has to help him more. And I do believe they're going to. I'm pretty optimistic about if they can have a season that they can make some improvements. And if not, this rookie class that has a lot of upside, and as well as the sophomore class that we saw put in a lot of good contribution last year, it allows them another year to learn. It does kind of make their physical peak come a little bit quicker in terms of snaps put in, but that's something that they can deal with. The fact that it isn't like it's a year of wear and tear, I think that helps everything. So those two bottom lines are what it comes down to. The 45 number, I think, really does help both sides. When we get back from the break, we'll talk about the motivation for both of them. But I just want to point out that this is monumental. There's only been a handful of 10-year deals ever in the league. One of them by the guy that I think not only in his eye, but in mine and in a lot of eyes still reminds me closest of Patrick Mahomes on the field. And that's Brett Favre. He had a 10-year deal, what they called a quote unquote lifetime deal at the time. And right now this puts Patrick Mahomes in a position to be the figurehead of the franchise. Only two quarterbacks have won a Super Bowl for this franchise. And Lenny Dawson played 183 games over 14 seasons, I believe it was. Patrick Mahomes now has the ability to surpass both of those numbers, sheerly by playing out the contract that he's under. And he's already got a Super Bowl win. So this is literally redefining this franchise in the modern age, right now, today, before your eyes, as a modern Chiefs fan. We'll come back in a second, a few hours for me, and we'll go over really the motivation and the bits and pieces that wrap up how this got done and what it means for the other piece that has to get done. Welcome back. And it's been another hour or so. I'm approaching the time where I have to upload the file so that you guys can get this show on time. Might even just put it up when I'm done here and get it out a little bit early, because there will be details that come in over the next 24 hours that will probably shed some more light on the specifics of how this contract goes. There are a number of question marks still out there. What's the guarantee going to be like? My understanding from Joel Corey, as well as Jason from Over the Cap, is that it is 5 years that you can spread that bonus out over in the proration. So that changes the structure in terms of having that money count up front versus what will be, I think, a backloaded base salary in the tail end of the contract. We're going to have to see how that all works out. But I want to talk about motivation, because I think motivation is what this comes down to. We've talked quite a lot lately about the motivations in signing or not signing Chris Jones, his motivation, and even possible trades, et cetera, et cetera. Motivation in this case, and this is something that we've heard through the Chris Jones negotiation, is that the team had told him, Patrick, we have to get his deal done first. He's the priority. We have to complete that before we can look at re-signing you. And knowing that you had the fifth year, I always felt like this was something that would be a longer negotiation. But clearly, kudos to Chris Cabot and Lee Steinberg for having enough flexibility that we even saw within the last few minutes comment that Peter King calls this a team-friendly deal because it's not tied to the cap. So that, again, like I talked about last hour, the encroachment as salaries continue to climb as what we foresee is the future. Yes, the temporary next two seasons look a little bit iffy about revenue growth, but beyond that, the NFL is still the NFL. It's still the most popular world sport in America's close up in the world. It will continue to grow overall. And what that tells you is that the team will effectively take the benefits as salary compensation throughout the league catches up to this deal. But that's definitely a departure from what we've seen in years past. And unfortunately, what brought down the last regime in terms of the front office were two deals in particular that I feel that Brett Veach in specifics, and very likely with the complete support of Andy Reid, but I do feel this is more on Brett Veach, that I think he deserves a lot of credit, because he didn't get John Dorsey'd. He did not allow contracts to get to the point where the market was controlling it. He's controlling the market. He's working out early with his star, the guy that is the cornerstone of this franchise for the next decade and beyond. And he went out and got it done, and he pushed, and he put other players off, like Chris Jones, at the risk of alienating them, because he knew that this had to be the number one foundational signing. He didn't pull a John Dorsey. He didn't let the Barry contract get out of control. He didn't let the Justin Houston contract get out of control by waiting, by pushing off, and overpaying for older players. Brett Veach is out front of it. Shocking, I know. He's being aggressive at getting things done that he has determined have to happen. It's not a question of what was going to happen. He was going to get signed. The Chiefs were never going to let him get away. But it is within that framework of knowing you have to get that done that Brett Veach has been, make a decision, I know what I need to do. I know what I plan to do. I'm going to go do it now, and I'm going to be aggressive about getting that done. That actually helps them down the line. Yes, in the meantime, there are going to be players that are frustrated by it. Chris Jones is one of them, and that's perfectly acceptable. That's his right. But there are more times that that actually saves you down the line. Now, will Patrick Mahomes play out this contract? I highly doubt it. I think what you're going to see is somewhere where it makes sense, year six. What does that mean? We're talking about 2027? No. 2028, 2029, somewhere around there. I think there's going to be another extension. He's going to sign a longer contract. Patrick Mahomes, unless just wants to keep his career short. I mean, if he wins another three Super Bowls in the next 5 years, he might consider not drawing that out. But my guess is this is a quarterback that can play well past the 35 that he will be at the end of this contract. I expect that there will be looking at another extension. They will probably erase some of the final years of this contract and extend him a little bit further. There are a number of ways that this could play out, but for the team, they wanted to get this done earlier than they had to, and quite frankly, earlier than I thought they would. I thought this was a deal that was a year away with all the COVID concerns and not having revenue for next season. Clearly, I underestimated how much of a right now situation it was, and kudos to them. Good power. You needed to go get that done, and I think getting this done a year early than I even expected it is a great boon for the franchise overall in the long run at trying to build a dynasty that has the quarterback at the center and that you have to continue to maneuver around. Getting it done earlier helps you do that process, and I'm very keen for that. On Patrick's side, I do feel that his reps did a great job. I think he did a great job in doing exactly what he said he would do, that he wanted to do it in a way that kept the team viable, that, quote unquote, did it the right way so that his contract didn't bring down the franchise in future years by having the lack of ability to re-sign talent, the lack of ability to add pieces when you have to have them. I think that was very clear. And I think by taking an average of 45, I think that's, again, a little bit on the high side that I thought, but I think still within under what a lot of people felt. Even Lewis Riddick today thought it was going to be the $500 million number. That's huge. And by rolling it in, if you look at it over the 12 years with the contract that he already had, given this as an extension, when you look at his total average at 39.75, that's really impressive in that he took quite a chunk less than I think he had to in order to get the longevity. But I do feel like being the biggest contract in North American sports history, I think, was something that was important to him too, especially knowing that there was just a baseball contract that was signed the other day that was huge. So I'm sure that might have been the last little push. Maybe this was a cheaper deal a couple days ago. We don't know. But for the player, being as iconic as he is and getting to that point, I think that this served the goals of both the organization and the player in what, quite frankly, we don't see that often anymore. This was a meeting of the minds. This is meeting in the middle. This is what compromise looks like in the NFL. And quite frankly, if it wasn't the fact that Kansas City is a Midwestern town, one of the smallest markets in the NFL, I don't think that compromise would have necessarily happened, to tell you the truth. I think it's a unique situation of how all the pieces fit, not just Patrick and Andy Reid, but Brett Veach in getting the deal done, in Clark Hunt, who's had quite a reputation for not wanting to spend money in the past, for him pulling the trigger on this. That's incredible. Those four key people. I think that really comes down to this is what's best for the organization, and it leaves no one out in the cold. It leaves no one smarting for anything that they feel they were slighted about. And I think that's really what should be celebrated about this contract in general, is it sets this team up for the future without alienating the player that has to be at the center of it, and without crippling the GM that has to put a field a team consistently that is dynamic and aggressive around him. And for you out there in Chiefs Kingdom, whether you're in Kansas City or at Ramstein or somewhere else around the world listening to this, you can enjoy football for the future. Yes, there's question marks about this season, but this sets you up to be a perennial franchise that will always be in the mix, that will always be something that you can point to and say, we have the quarterback we need. And as a Chiefs fan, I think you can feel really good about what happened today. I'm going to cut it now so that I can get it edited up and get it out to you guys a little bit early. And I do have the Q&A over on RGR Football tonight, so I will answer any questions or any further details that we get there. We'll be back tomorrow, hopefully with Matt Derrick, depending on time, and we're going to dig into whatever details we get overnight about the specifics of this contract. But right now, enjoy this moment, folks. Your quarterback is here for the next decade plus, and that helps everybody's chances of continuing to be a champion. Thanks for listening to us today. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.